story of the Christ child in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Mary and Joseph had gone to the city of David to be taxed, as many of us feel like on March the 15th. April 15th. Did I say March 15th? So you weren't listening. I wonder how many times, though, fact and fiction need to be questioned concerning this story of the Christ child. You know and I know that there are a lot of folks in this world that are celebrating keeping Christ in Christmas. If you've seen it once, you've seen it how many times in the last month or 2 months? Let's keep Christ, or let's put Christ back in Christmas. Really? Was Christ ever in Christmas is my question. Might be sound like a hard question to ask this morning, but was Christ really ever in Christmas? If it was, and if we answer yes to that question, we must show that Jesus was born, first of all, on the 25th of December. That his birth was to be observed by the church in celebration. We must show that the manner in which his birthday was to be observed by the church. And to do that, we have to search what's written about it, because none of us were there. We have to rely on those who wrote about the birth, about the church, about those things back in the first century. Prophets, Christ's teaching about his birth or not, the apostles' doctrine, the habits and the practices of the early church. We talked in our Bible class, the young adult Bible class this morning, about pattern theology. Your New Testament carries in it a pattern of doctrine, of teaching, of celebration or not, a pattern of things that did or did not take place within the body of the church in the first century, who we say we emulate. We want to copy or be that church that was the church of the first century, that very church that Christ died for, do we not? Well, let's look at what the prophets said. The prophets spoke of the birth of Christ, yes. Born of a virgin, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Quote from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Many prophets spoke of the Christ, the Messiah. It was known by all the Jewish folks from the very first prophecy of the Messiah until the actual day of his birth, and then some didn't even believe that he was the Messiah. Micah says he would be born in Bethlehem. He was. What about Christ's teaching about his birthday? We don't find anything. Jesus really taught nothing about his own birth. I have to ask the question, if we think it was important for the church to celebrate the birth of Christ, wouldn't he have said something about it himself? From the two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, we get a historical narrative of the actual birth event and the things that took place around that. I want to read both of those narratives this morning. I realize it's a little bit long, but I think it deserves reading through this morning if we're going to talk about these things. What does the Scriptures actually tell us about this birth and the events that surround it? If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 2, first of all, if you'll read along with me, we'll see what Matthew had to say regarding the birth of the Savior. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them, "Where is the Christ who was born, or who was to be born?" So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called these wise men, determined that from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the child, the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I shall call my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, let's go to Luke chapter 2. The only other occurrence in New Testament scripture in the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ is found in Luke chapter 2. We begin at verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place with Quirinius, who was governing Syria. So all went to register, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with all the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." We go on following that to the circumcision of Christ on the eighth day, going into the temple with the child to have the child blessed, meeting Simeon, the old man who said, "I can die in peace now. I have seen the Christ." There are certain things that you were familiar with in those passages. There are some things that you didn't see in those passages that you're familiar with anyway. If you go to read about the early church, they absolutely practiced nothing about the birth of Christ in their celebrations or their feast days or holy days. Fact or fiction, December 25th is Christ's birthday. December 25th was not celebrated in the first century by anyone as Christ's birthday. It was first prescribed by Liberius in 354 A.D. and then previously by Constantine in 336 A.D. And it was a desire to Christianize a pagan celebration, the Saturnalia, on December 25th. An effort by those of religious morals to bring pagan folks into a religious moral situation. We read about the three wise men at the manger a minute ago. But these wise men never went to a manger. I challenge you to go back and read those passages this afternoon as you have time. And understand that the wise men never went to the manger. They were in the house when they saw the baby. Not a barn, not a manger. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they had come into the house. So every time you see a setting, a manger setting out in front of a church building or someone's front yard, and it has three wise men there in a manger setting, that's a falsehood. That's false teaching. It's false doctrine. It's pretty, but it's false. The wise men never saw a baby either. If you notice in the passage that I read in Luke, the Christ child was called a babe, capital B, B-A-B-E. But in Matthew, when the wise men found the child, there's a difference in the Greek language in babe and child. A babe is one who is real tiny, kind of like Landon, little bitty kid, 6 months to a year. But a small child could be upwards of 3 to 5 to 6 years old, no longer called a babe. And a babe would not be referred to as a child in the Greek language. So the wise men never saw the babe. They saw the child. And the third point, who in the world ever said there were three of them? I don't know. Because the scriptures certainly don't mention three. Scriptures mention three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But could it be possible that two wise men delivered three gifts? That's possible. Is it possible that 23 wise men delivered three gifts? Well, that's possible. Is it possible that one wise man? No, we know it was more than one because it says men. It's plural. At least two. But we don't know the number. It's never given to us. So to say there were three wise men is simply human conjecture. And again, doctrine that's not in line with what the scriptures actually tell us. We sing a song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." False doctrine. I say that with a smile because it's sometimes hard to say we're practicing false doctrine. But to sing that song is a false teaching. Can we get in trouble for that? I think so. Does your Bible and my Bible and your New Testament and mine tell us that God does not appreciate a liar? One who spreads false doctrine or false teaching? Yes, it does. If we sing this song to folks who don't know any better and we've spread a false teaching, can we be in trouble for that? And the answer is yes. What the scriptures do say, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, more than one, came from the east to Jerusalem, not kings. Doesn't say anything about kings. The song "We Three Kings" is wrong in two areas. The Magian, Oriental astrologer, a magician. That's the Magi. We have that in the New American Standard. The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So wise men, Magi, meaning the same thing, they were astrologers. They were magicians. They weren't kings. What about the Magi's faith? Where did they come from? Well, it came from somewhere in the East. Eastern faith, I don't know that much about. I know it's not Christianity. But they looked into the light of God's world. They saw the star, a physical light, followed a star. They must have known about that star from some reading, some teaching, or somebody's writing before their time. Where is he who has been born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And they've come to worship him. They looked in the light of God's word as well as the light of his world. They knew that one was to be born king of the Jews. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, from the book of Numbers. They most likely had read the Old Testament prophets and Moses writing to know these things. They acted on the light that was given them, the light of the world, the light of the light, or the light of the word. The heavenly light in the written word. We've seen his star and have come to worship him. Christmas facts. Let's share a little bit of the facts about Christmas. December 25th was chosen by man to attempt to Christianize a pagan feast. That's the truth. Christmas is not found in your Bible or mine. That's true. No New Testament Christian ever celebrated Christ's birthday, as far as we know, by New Testament writers of that day, secular writers of that day, Josephus and others. No one ever celebrated his birthday until way beyond the first century church. Christmas is registered as a national holiday, that it is. It's celebrated all over our country. Christmas is big time commercialized, we know that. Christmas cards, multi-millions of dollars are spent just on Christmas cards every year, not to mention the gifts that are given. Those are all facts. Another fact, the birth of Christ is important. I don't want you to think I'm belaying or belittling the birth of Christ, because number one, had he not been born, he couldn't have died as sacrifice for you and for me. The birth is important. The matter in which he was born is important, because had he not been born at the time and the way and the manner and the place where he was born, he would not have fulfilled all of prophecy that was prophesied about him years and hundreds of years before. Everything about his birth is and always will be important. And we should understand the facts of it. It fulfilled prophecy. It began the mission for redemption, God's mission for redemption, because he sent Jesus to begin that mission, for our redemption. But it's presumptive and somewhat arrogant to celebrate a birthday when you have no proof of the day. The death of Christ is to be celebrated, not his birth, according to your Bible and mine. The ransom in his life is what is most important. He gave himself for you and for I as a ransom for what we could never do on our own behalf. The death is the climax of his coming. It is to be commemorated. 1 Corinthians, let's go and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Go there with me if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul writes about the death of Christ. And he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remembering my death, the breaking of my body, my death, remember. "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Remember, commemorate my death. "For as often as you eat this bread," he got specific, "as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," not his birth. It was more important then, by scripture evidence, for Jesus to tell us to remember his death instead of his birth and celebrate that. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Paul says that they were doing this on the first day of the week. They gathered together to break bread. This is the same breaking of bread. The communion supper. And it's a funny thing. Those who contend for Christmas as a holy day reject by and large, reject the celebration of Christ's death on every first day of the week. Do you realize that? Most of the Christian population of this country, those who call themselves Christian, do not celebrate communion every first day of the week. But they're quick to chastise those of the Christian population who would say, it's more important to do that than celebrate his birthday once a year. Big question. Is it sinful for you and I to celebrate Christmas? Is it sinful for a Christian to celebrate Christmas? As the church, unequivocally, yes. Why would I say that? I might as well say bah humbug. Call me a Scrooge. It's not that. Paul said, you observe holy days and months and seasons and years. He was chastised in the Galatian church for celebrating certain days and certain things of the year. He says, I'm afraid for you lest I have labored for you in vain. He said, I taught you better, but you didn't pay attention. Don't do that, he said. What about as a holy day? Should we celebrate Christmas as a holy day? Or is it sinful too? Yes, it's sinful to celebrate Christmas as a holy day. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, let me ask you something. Based on just that one passage, if there's nothing in the New Testament about celebrating of Christmas, December 25th, as the birth of Christ, if there's nothing in Scripture about that, can we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? That meaning by his authority? The answer has to be no. Where do you get the authority to say this is Jesus' birthday? Where do you get the authority to celebrate that birthday? You see, these things are important because it has to do with our eternal salvation. If it's sinful and we celebrate it for those purposes, we carry that sin burden until we repent and ask for forgiveness. But then if we do it again the following year, we got to repent again. But can one study about the birth of Christ at Christmas? Absolutely. We've done that this morning. That's not sinful. One can study, contemplate on any Bible subject on any day of the year. We can talk about this same thing on July the 2nd or October the 1st. Can a preacher preach about the birth of Christ on his birthday? Absolutely. Did that this morning. There's nothing wrong with that. It's doctrine. It's in your Bible. Somebody asked me one time, how come we have to know this? I was in the middle of teaching a Bible class. Why do we have to know this? It's in your Bible. We can teach that. We can preach that any day of the year. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, even the Scripture according to the birth of Christ. Can we ascribe a certain day to the birth of Jesus? Not by faith. Paul said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God, and the Word of God does not give us a day of Christ's birthday. And Christians observe Christmas as a national holiday. What about its pagan beginnings, its Catholic reference? Because it was the Catholic popes who brought Christmas as a celebration from the pagan thing. The principle for that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you'll go over there with me, we'll see a principle that Paul gave us. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eatings of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, or whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as the thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not command us to God or commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we better. The point and principle is this. We can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate and observe it as a national holiday without the infraction of sin occurring. We can't. We celebrate April Fool's Day in a manner of speaking. We celebrate New Year's Eve as a national holiday. We celebrate Washington's birthday as a national holiday. A lot of national holidays that have nothing to do with scriptural references or scriptural behavior. The principle is, if you feel good about it and you want to celebrate Christmas as a national holiday, go for it. The following part of the principle is, but don't force it on your brother or your sister if they don't feel good about it. That's that meat that we offered to idols. If I can sit here at my dining room table and eat meat that was offered to idols and my conscience doesn't bother me about it because I know idols are nothing, it doesn't matter. But if I serve it to my brother Jerry and he has a problem with it, then I don't need to serve it to my brother Jerry because his conscience is weak and he can't take that and it bothers him, right? That's the principle. So if my celebration of Christmas is a problem for my brethren, then I ought to do something about that, not make it a problem for my brethren. That's the principle. A tree with lights on it, go get you one. Go have you one. If you hadn't already got it put up, put it up. I hate those things. It's a lot of work. And you just got to take it back down. But there's nothing religious about a tree with lights on it for the Christian, is there? You don't worship that tree, I hope. If you do, you got a bigger problem than we've talked about yet. December 25th has nothing to do with Christ's birthday. Pagan feast for the Christian. I don't believe it's Jesus' birthday. I don't believe it's a pagan feast. Doesn't bother me. If that's you, celebrate it. Now, if it falls on Sunday, that's the Lord's Day. That's different. I still don't celebrate it as Jesus' birthday, and I still don't celebrate it as a national holiday. I celebrate it as the Lord's Day, same as I do every other Sunday, Lord's Day in the world. We can call the seventh day Saturday without paying homage to the God of Saturn. That's where that word Saturday came from. You do realize that. If you go back and study in school, you talked about the gods and how they got the names of the weeks and the months. Monday, moon day. You can call the first day of the week Sunday without worshiping the sun god, Ra. Oh, it's Sunday, bow to Ra. We don't do that. That's nothing to the Christian. The moon for Luna. Those things mean absolutely nothing to the Christian population. Use moderation when spending money. You know why? I mean, I'm not trying to tell you how to spend money or buy for your kids, but a year from now, most gifts are forgotten about anyway. How many remember what you got last year for Christmas, right now, without having to think about it? Jerry holds his hand up. Paul said, take heed, beware of covetousness. If we can cross that line into covetousness if we're not careful about buying things and having things and getting things for Christmas. Keep yourself pure. Watch out for the alcohol thing. A lot of people celebrate Christmas with alcohol and parties and this, that, and the other, and wine's a mocker. Remember what the proverb said. Wine's a mocker, strong drink's a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. I love these new commercials out about buzzed driving instead of drunk driving. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Keep Christ's birthday out of your Christmas celebration. You don't have any authority or scriptural reference for it. Choose Christmas cards and stamps without nativity scenes, please. Don't spread the false doctrine, the false rumor, the false teaching about Christmas. If you have a tree, I'd suggest not put mangers around it or angels on top of it. Avoid music that leaves the impression of celebrating Christ's birthday. There are certain songs in our songbook that we might not should sing any day of the year, not just on Christmas time. Might want to opt out of Christmas musicals, that type of thing. Why do I say these things? Why are those things up there? Because some, I could go to a Christmas musical and it not bother me and not convict my conscience. That may be for me. But what if someone sitting just in the next couple of seats over, well, that's the preacher down there at the Church of Christ. They don't know my heart and my conscience. All they see is there's a physical presence of the preacher at the Church of Christ in a musical that has to do with Christ's birthday on Christmas, and that's a wrong signal. See that? We have to watch the example and the light we shine. Do not try to force God to accept man-made inventions. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Those, I think, are probably elementary things for the Christian. But they're important things because we can cross those lines if we're not careful. On your front page of your bulletin from this morning, there's an article written by Brother Richard Stevens. I don't know if you saw that or not, if you had time to read it. Read it. Take it with you. Be sure and pass it, hand it out to somebody else if you want to help them learn a few things about the Christmas holiday. And in the very last of that, he says, every holiday season, Christ is on the hearts and lips of many souls. Christmas gives us another opportunity to impart biblical salvation. Christmas season is a wonderful time to help others understand what are the truths and what are not truths about the birth of Christ and about why we celebrate a Christmas season at all. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. We ought to do all those things with meekness, good-hearted reasons, compassion, and the need to bring someone to Christ. According to the Mayan calendar, and you know I had to mention this. You know I had to mention the Mayan calendar. We weren't even supposed to be here today. Christmas wasn't supposed to happen. The 25th was history. But in reality, only God knows when the end will be. You know that, and I know that. Mayans, who were they? I think they just ran out of ink. I don't know. It's not given to us to know what day that will be. But it's of eternal importance that we're ready for that day, whenever it might be. Big question is, are you ready this morning? Had the Mayans been right? Had the 21st been the last day and you never saw the 22nd? Much less the 23rd or 25th. Would you have been ready? Because if they had been right, we'd be looking right straight down the barrel of eternity this very day. Would have already begun on the other side of this life. And if you can't say you were ready on the 21st, what about today? Maybe nothing changed in your life from last Thursday until today, from last Friday until today, from yesterday until today. Maybe something's changed in your heart or your attitude this morning. Maybe you realize some things that, wow, I've been believing all those things he just told me were wrong all my life, and all of a sudden that's a surprise. Well, there may be other surprises you hadn't got to yet, like salvation issues. Who will and who won't go to heaven according to what Paul and God and Jesus have said, not what I say. You may be sitting here this morning with some thoughts in your mind about you need to learn more about what God says about these things and not so much what man says. And if that's the case, we would gladly help you do that just as a guide through the Scriptures, not as someone who will tell you, but someone who will show you where it is in the Bible. Because if we can't show it to you in the Bible, don't need to be telling. Can't show you December 25th, don't need to be telling. See what I mean? There's a lot in there that you may not know. If that's the case, we'll study with you till the day is long. Multiple days, long as it takes. Once you have the information, then you make the decision. You don't make the decision before you get the information. You wouldn't make a decision about buying anything until you had some information about it. And I've got this bridge over in Arizona. Without the proper knowledge, you might want to buy that bridge because it's an oddity in Arizona. You wouldn't make that decision without information and facts and data. Why would you make a salvation decision without the facts? Maybe you've already made that decision, and maybe that decision that you made long ago is not working very well for you, or you've fallen off that proverbial spiritual wagon, or you've become out of step with the Lord's will. Maybe you're a Christian this morning and you're not in tune with the Lord's will, and you need some help with that prayer, study, whatever it may be. This is the time where the invitation song's been chosen. We're going to sing it here in just a second, and if you have a need, a desire, or a want, or a have to come down forward, do that. Don't wait. What if the mind's missed it 4 days? Could be. We don't know. Why take the chance? It's an eternal chance that you take. While we stand, while we sit.